Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're back from the bye. I'm back from vacation. Glad to be back. But let's assess where this team is coming off a bye week. I want to spend a good portion of today's show talking about the depth issues in the Packers' backfield, particularly the Green Bay Packers running backs, still dealing with injury issues here at the quarter point of the season, I guess you could say. Packers have only played 3 games. The NFL has now had 4 weeks. So the Packers not quite to the quarter pole yet, but getting there shortly, will be after this weekend when they face the Detroit Lions this upcoming Sunday. So yeah, the players had this past week off. I think they left town on Monday and they didn't have to be back until the following Monday. So pretty much getting an entire week off, as all NFL teams pretty much do during the bye week. Nothing new with the Packers or special about them compared to other teams. So they returned to the practice field Monday and still dealing with injury issues, which is kind of problematic for them. Now, the good news is that Eddie Lacy was back at practice. He's been out since the Washington game when he suffered a concussion. Remember the hit from Brandon Merriweather? Actually got a fine from the NFL. Well, Eddie Lacy missed the Packers' 3rd game of the year. Didn't play at all. But is now back, it appears. Practice on Monday. Mike McCarthy says he expects him to play this upcoming weekend against the Detroit Lions. So everything seems to be hunky-dory there. But things aren't quite as good elsewhere in the Packers' backfield. Now, 2 players actually got injured in that Week 3 game at Cincinnati. 2 running backs. James Starks came into the game as a starter, left with a knee injury, relieved by Jonathan Franklin, who, of course, performed admirably. Went above and beyond the call of duty, getting 100 yards in his offensive debut. First time he's ever even played in a regular season NFL game. Rushes for over 100 yards. Well, it looks terrific, really, by all accounts. Looked really good. Kind of what you've expected to see from Jonathan Franklin all along, or hope to at least. And then he goes down late in the game in the 4th quarter with an ankle injury. Actually returned to action, but still kind of dealing with the after effects. Not a serious issue, but still, you know, dealing with injury issues. And then we're also dealing with fullback John Kuhn and his hamstring issues among the many hamstring issues on the Packers roster. John Kuhn, he hasn't played since the 2nd game of the season against the Washington Redskins. Packers home game at Lambeau Field. Just like Eddie Lacy, he missed the Cincinnati game in Week 3. And he did not practice on Monday. So the good news, Eddie Lacy was back, but Starks, Franklin, Kuhn, all still out as of Monday. Now, Packers got their typical, they came back and practiced for 1 day. Then they got their typical day off on Tuesday, like they do every week. And now they're coming back to the practice field today on Wednesday. And who knows, maybe that time off from Monday to Wednesday now, it's going to be by the time practice starts, roughly 48 extra hours they've had. Maybe that's enough time to get those guys back onto the practice field. Perhaps. That's what you hope, at least, right? So for James Starks, Jonathan Franklin, and John Kuhn, maybe they'll be back. We'll find out today. Packers hit the practice field somewhere around midday. I don't know. When do they usually start practice? Around 11 a.m.-ish central time, local time. We should get, you know, reports from the beat reporters covering practice somewhere around that time. Who's coming back? You know, who's going to be on the practice field? Is the Packers getting ready here for now? What you know, we're expected to be the stretch run of the season. Long time before the Packers get another break. But, I mean, I think a lot of people are kind of anticipating to see, you know, a Packers backfield tandem, a combination of the two rookies, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin, after they've both had very promising starts to their rookie seasons. You know, kind of everything, you know, taken together from the off-season program to training camp to early here in the regular season. You know, I think people kind of want to see a 1-2 punch with the thunder and lightning, if you will, of Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. Lacy bringing the power, Franklin bringing the quickness. Kind of a little bit of a yin and yang there, combination between the two. I think people are kind of anticipating to see that. Of course, it's all going to depend upon their health, whether Franklin's ready to come back. Lacy appears to be back. But I mean, where does James Starks fit into the equation? Where does he fit now? He appears to have the worst injury of them all, James Starks, with his knee issue. That's the impression that I'm getting, is that his injury is the worst. John Kuhn will be back here eventually from the hamstring. Yeah, you know, whether it's a now or another week or whatever, he'll be back. Jonathan Franklin's injury, heck, it only kept him out of last week's game a couple snaps. He's going to be back eventually. Eddie Lacy's already back. So James Starks seems like it's the worst of all. So what do you do with Jonathan Franklin now? Is it time for the Packers finally to part ways with James Starks? You know, he's had injury issues every year since joining the Packers out of college. This is his fourth year. You know, every year there's problems. It's always something different. It's the knee. It's the shoulder. It's, you know, some variety of injuries that Starks has dealt with over the years. And, you know, I don't know what the Packers do. I suppose, you know, we'll find out today, I guess, what the severity of the injury might be. The Packers have to release their official injury report on Wednesday. So, you know, we'll find out if he's already ruled out this week. Well, I don't know. But, so what the Packers did in order to counteract their issues here at running back, on Monday they elevated running back Michael Hill from the practice squad, signed him to the 53-man roster. This takes the place of the roster spot opened up when last week the Packers had cut wide receiver / kick returner Jeremy Ross. And now Michael Hill isn't really expected to be a kick returner. Maybe they'll try him out there eventually, but he's kind of more of a running back by trade. Packers really wanting to ease some concerns at this running back position here. You know, heck, they went into that Cincinnati game, their last game, with two healthy running backs, and both the running backs ended up getting injured. They don't want to be caught in a bind like that again. So that's why they signed Michael Hill. And interesting stuff here on Michael Hill. He spent training camp with the San Diego Chargers pretty much since the NFL draft concluded. Went undrafted, but signed as an undrafted free agent with the Chargers. Spent training camp there and got a good shot with the Chargers in training camp. didn't do anything spectacularly well. If I have the stats here in front of me, Michael Hill rushed for 60 yards on 21 carries during the preseason, during the exhibition season. That's an average of 2.9 yards per carry. Nothing special, right? But you go back to Hill's college career, and this is where it gets interesting. This is where it really kind of shows maybe the Packers found a little bit of a diamond in the rough. And it's kind of reminiscent of the signing of Duwan Harris a year ago. You know, you remember the story. Duwan Harris spent a lot of the year on the practice squad. And then finally, towards the end of the season, he was elevated. And his role just kind of grew and grew week by week. And all of a sudden, by the end of the year, by the time the playoffs roll around, he's the Packers starter at running back and performing pretty darn well. Well, the Packers are hoping that's going to be the same case with Michael Hill. Michael Hill comes out of Missouri Western, Division II school, small place, small school, nothing big here. But he is the school's all-time leading rusher. Here's the stats from Michael Hill's college career. Over the course of the entire, I'm assuming, 4 years, he has 4,969 career rushing yards, 35 career touchdowns. These come on 828 rushing attempts. That's an average of 6.0 yards per carry. 6.0 yards per carry over an entire career. That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, again, we're talking about Division II school here. But still, I mean, no matter what, you know, if that's at Division III, that's impressive. That's in high school, that's pretty impressive, actually. So, I mean, this there's talent here. There's talent here. And the thought that I thought, or the part that I think is even more interesting yet, you know, really intrigues me. So Hill is invited to the Raycom College All-Star Classic, I think it's called. I forget what the heck. Yeah, Raycom College Football All-Star Classic. One of those postseason college All-Star games. You know, the Senior Bowl's kind of the... has the most notoriety, the most history. The East-West Shrine Game is one of those games that also has a little bit of cachet. Then there's a few other lesser-known All-Star games. One of the newer ones to the college football scene is the Raycom All-Star Classic here. Well, Hill was invited there this past, I think it was January, and ends up being the MVP of the All-Star game. So in this game, you know, he's competing against, you know, Division I players. Not solely. There's, you know, there's players from all divisions, you know, invited to this thing. But, you know, it's an All-Star game. This is good quality talent here. Ends up being the offensive MVP of the game. So in the Raycom All-Star Classic, Michael Hill carried the football 12 times that day. And of course, it's an All-Star game. He's got to share carries with everybody on the roster. It's only fair, right? It's an All-Star game. But in those 12 carries, Michael Hill rushes for 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. This isn't an All-Star game. That was impressive to me. I remember this, you know, when it happened and him being named the offensive MVP of the game. You know, that's when I think Michael Hill really went onto the radar before the NFL draft. Kind of, you know, people started to take notice of this, you know, small school Division II player here, running back. But no doubt about it, some talent there. you know, has some intrigue to him. Now, again, I don't know what the plan is for the Packers to use Michael Hill. I mean, obviously, he's probably not, you know, of the same talent, of the same caliber of Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. Otherwise, he would have been drafted, you know. It's not like he was a total unknown. He played in this All-Star game. There are scouts there. They've seen him. You know, they know him. But I mean, you know, once in a while, you find a diamond in the rough. You find a diamond in the rough. The Packers hope they found it with this guy. And you know, if the Packers are still hurting at the running back position, if there's still issues there, maybe he'll get a shot. You know, he's probably not going to be the guy who's going to tote the football, you know, the most on the team. He's not going to be the featured back. He's not going to be the workhorse back, but maybe he gets a chance. You know, again, depending on how the injury is to James Starks, to Jonathan Franklin, to John Kuhn, you know, the longer those guys are out, the more of a chance that Michael Hill have. Taking Hill's spot on the practice squad is a wide receiver slash kick returner, Reggie Dunn, pretty much more of a kick returner prospect out of Utah. What's interesting is I had actually ranked him the number two kick return prospect in this year's draft class in our Cheesehead TV Pro Football Draft Preview publication back before the NFL draft. I wrote a whole post on it here at Cheesehead TV. If you just scroll down to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen and check out the recent posts, I wrote a whole post yesterday about Reggie Dunn and the intrigue he brings. Reggie Dunn averaging over 50 yards per kick return his senior year. Over 50 yards per kick return his senior year. 50 yards, let that sink in. That's pretty awesome. Now, there's you know, reasons for it, though. He only had 10 kick returns on the entire season. Teams started to kick away from him once they found out how good he was doing. But, I mean, there's some intrigue there. It'll be interesting to see what the Packers do at the kick return position, you know, and now that they've released Jeremy Ross, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Randall Cobb? Perhaps. I think Jonathan Franklin, if he's healthy, will be back there on kick returns. I think Micah Hyde, if he's healthy, will be back there on punt returns. I think that's the way the Packers are going to start to go this season, but always have the backup option of having Randall Cobb, who's ready and available, although they probably don't want to have to use him, but he's in their back pocket in case they do. They want to save Randall Cobb for offense, obviously. You know, he's turning out to be a pretty darn good offensive weapon. And they don't want him hurt on special teams. They want him out there in offense, and that's all hunky-dory and fine and dandy. Other injury issues on the Packers roster. Still waiting to find out today whether these other injured players will come back. Wrote this morning's Packers calendar post on tight end JerMichael Finley. Packers tight end sent out a rather cryptic tweet yesterday, on Tuesday. All it said was good news. He might have had some hashtags in there as well or whatever. But JerMichael Finley didn't elaborate what that good news is. Now, kind of reading the tea leaves here, putting two and two together, you kind of suspect that maybe perhaps it has to do with his concussion, you know, another concussion issue here in addition to Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy's back. Well, JerMichael Finley didn't practice on Monday. Kind of thought, well, still not back, still going through that concussion protocol on Monday. But yesterday says good news. Maybe we see him out on the practice field today. He was originally hurt during the Packers' last game, Game 3, Week 3 against the Bengals. That hit from George Aloka that also elicited a fine from the NFL. And anyway, JerMichael Finley looking like perhaps he could be back today. Packers need him. They need as many weapons as they can possibly get on the offensive side of the football. Well, defense as well. I mean, they need weapons in general, but, you know, Jermichael Finley, you take him away, you know, that's one less big target that, you know, Aaron Rodgers has at his disposal. And it showed, you know, on offense when the Packers lost to the Bengals. You know, it kind of looked like Finley, you know, when he was hit, they went to him deep over the middle on that play. You kind of thought, well, this is in, and that was in the first quarter. You kind of thought that, maybe this is something that you're going to see all afternoon, the whole game. You know, Jermichael Finley kind of working the middle of the field, you know, but it didn't turn out to be that way because of injury. But, the Packers would certainly, they would be benefit from his return. And, you know, he's not the only one. Of course, we're still dealing with all these hamstring injuries here with the Green Bay Packers. The most high profile of which is linebacker Clay Matthews. He missed the second half of the Packers' last game against the Bengals. Played the first half, did awesome, came up with a sack, two forced fumbles with an asterisk. I still think that Dayton Jones should be credited with that forced fumble instead of Clay Matthews. But Clay Matthews was in there on that tackle when it happened. Regardless, I mean, still made a great play. So he's dealing with this hamstring injury. Don't know whether he's going to be back. See, you know, it's the annual occurrence of the Clay Matthews hamstring injury to one extent or another. Pretty much every year since his rookie year, the hamstring, you know, flares up at some point, at some time. And you know, sometimes it's been during training camp, during the preseason where this has happened. And, well, it's not really too big a deal that Clay Matthews misses time then. You know, last year he missed four regular season games, and that was bad. You don't want that to happen. And now he misses the second half of last week's game, a game in which the Packers lost. Well, and now going forward, still unsure of what Clay Matthews' status would be. And then yesterday in a feature article here at Cheesehead TV, we kind of looked at the Packers' other outside linebackers on the roster. Outside linebackers not named Clay Matthews. Well, they're not doing a whole lot this season. They're doing an okay job stuffing the run. But other than that, you know, they're not. They're not rushing the passer. Nick Perry, Mike Neal in particular, the guys who have seen the most playing time at outside linebacker, kind of opposite Clay Matthews or occasionally filling in for him when he's been off the field. They haven't stepped up to the plate from a pass rush perspective this year. And I give them a pass for that 49ers game. They really weren't asked to rush the passer, get after the quarterback that game, playing more contain on Colin Kaepernick. But, you know, the last two games, they've had plenty of opportunity to get after Robert Griffin, to get after Andy Dalton, and, you know, doing a subpar job of getting pressure on the quarterback. Not that they haven't entirely or at all, but, you know, they got to get more. They got to get to the quarterback. They got to get a sack. And if not a sack, at least put a hit on him. Knock him down. Because those hits add up. You know, once you start knocking the quarterback around, as long as it's legal, you know, it's within the millisecond of him releasing the ball. You know, the you start to get in the quarterback's brain, and that's why the Packers got to start doing that. They got to do that with Matthew Stafford. They got to do it with all quarterbacks. But I mean, they really need it from somebody other than Clay Matthews. These guys haven't been really generating a whole lot of pressure. Nick Perry and Mike Neal. You know, those guys got to start stepping up to the plate a little bit and take some pressure off Clay Matthews or perhaps even replace him if Clay Matthews doesn't go this week, if his hamstring issue's still bothering him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll be back at practice today. Maybe it's all kind of, you know, worry over nothing here. But we haven't really gotten a whole lot of indication for, you know, yet as to what Matthew's status may or may not be. And again, he's not the only one dealing with a hamstring issue. This has become well-documented, you know, epidemic by now, pandemic. I exaggerate. But, you know, of course, Casey Hayward hasn't played a game this season. Packers cornerback. And they could use him in the slot cornerback position. Packers have been forced to play Tremont Williams there, who isn't a slot cornerback, really. You know, but they've been forced to play him there because of the injury. And so, I mean, he didn't practice on Monday. You kind of thought all along, well, you know, the writing was on the wall that when Casey Hayward hurt his hamstring for a second time during the preseason, you thought, well, okay, he's out through the bye. Well, the Packers come back from the bye, and he still hadn't practiced on Monday, and you're kind of sitting there scratching your head. And so for the past few days, you're kind of just like, okay, they're playing it safe. You know, they get back. They got 3 consecutive days of practice starting on Wednesday. Maybe today's the day we finally see Casey Hayward. I hope that's the case. I hope he's finally back. Or at least I hope he's back before the end of the week. I hope he's able to practice at some point this week. I can live without, you know, from a fan perspective, I can live without it being Wednesday if they want to give him today off. But hopefully Thursday, Friday, you start seeing him back in action. You know, that would be ideal, right? Right? You want to see Casey Hayward back in action, see the Packers getting healthy in general. Because in addition to Eddie Lacy coming back on Monday, Morgan Burnett was back, the safety who hasn't played yet this year. His hamstring issues seem to be subsiding. And you know, granted, his hamstring issue didn't seem to be as serious as Casey Hayward to begin with. But the Packers would certainly, it would behoove them to have a healthy secondary. And they haven't had that the first 3 games of the year. You know, this defense in Green Bay is going to be so much better with a healthy Morgan Burnett and a healthy Casey Hayward. You know, cross your fingers that that's going to happen here in terms for this upcoming game against the Detroit Lions. And we'll talk more about this Lions game this upcoming Friday here on Railbird Central. It's interesting because, of course, you know what, the last time the Lions have won in Green Bay is like 1991. You know, we're talking over 20 years now that the Lions haven't won in Lambeau Field. That the streak is crazy, and you know this is a good Lions team this year. They're coming into the game with a winning record, 3-1. Of course, we know they're talented. Between, you know, Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, and Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley. I mean, this team has talent. It's not, you know, I don't know if this is Super Bowl talent yet, but I mean, there's pieces to work around. You can, you know, dock their coach if you want and say, you know, he's maybe not the man for the job that's going to get him to the promised land. But, you know, the Lions always scare me just because of the raw talent they have there, especially with Calvin Johnson, but elsewhere on the team as well. So we'll talk more about that on Friday. On Friday, our guest on Railbird Central already got him lined up. Howie Magner of Milwaukee Magazine is going to join us on the show. And I put the little video here, and you probably can't see it all that well, but I just got my issue of Milwaukee Magazine in the mail this week, and James Jones, Packers wide receiver James Jones, is on the cover. So Howie Magner is going to talk to us about James Jones appearing on the show, not appearing on our show. We're not going to have James Jones, but he's going to talk to us about James Jones appearing on the cover of Milwaukee Magazine, and we're going to talk a little football with Howie Magner. So excited for that this upcoming Friday. So make sure to join us back then, back from vacation. So every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com. We'll be back in 2 days from now. So on behalf of our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you on Friday. Stay tuned for all your new Packers news needs in the meantime at CheeseheadTV.com. I leave you today with a song called Texas Town by Honky Tonk Home Slice on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.